You are listening to Visionaries Wrestling Network, providing your perfect podcast experience.
Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good.
All right, Good Cop, Bad Cop, episode 90. I've already figured out the title for this one as well, which I'm going to share with you in a second. Let's get to the poll first of all. 69-31, Matt Hardy in the golf cart was what I picked. We actually also had, I want to make sure I don't forget about this. We talked for so long last week. We didn't even have our intro in. We didn't have either of the games. We didn't have what we thought of each other's podcasts in. And we still ran for nearly an hour. It's like, and I didn't have my notes last week either. It's like, this is absolutely crazy. So we did put out an episode 89B, Good Chat, Bad Chat. Go check that out. It's on the Visionaries Network as well. And that's going to lead me straight into what I'm going to call this episode, Matt. You told me you had a lot of notes for this one because we had a lot to talk about. I have the fewest notes ever. And the reason is, and Matt's already astonished by this, you know that I overprepare everything.
Yeah.
And it is the lack of confidence I have in myself. And last week went just fine. So this week, I didn't overprepare at all. I have like words written down. I didn't even go onto a second page this week. I can see everything for good and bad already right now. That's how little I've written this week. So if it goes badly, then I'll be reversing to my normal routine. But yes, you've done tons of notes this week. I have got very little written down, so episode 90 is going to be called Role Reversal.
Okay.
I know also I'm going to be on your show, Talk at the Table, or Mags' show, or Conrad's show, everybody's show, I guess, this week. So I did save a couple of things I wanted to talk about for that, so that probably helped a little bit. But yeah, I think the other surprising thing this week is as well, I had a lot of things for WWE as well, which rarely happens for me. So that would be another, unless if you had all indie things this week, that would be absolutely hilarious. I know you do not, but...
No, I've got a couple of things that aren't, but that we'll have to wait and see what they are.
The other thing that would be a role reversal for me is I actually did watch WWE this week. I actually watched the pay-per-view in whole, watched the whole thing. I actually watched some of Raw actually this week as well. I didn't just watch the highlights. I actually watched actual segments of the show. So this could be a very interesting little episode.
Good. Bad.
Let's kick it off then with some good cop moments.
Good.
Right. So if I'm going first, Graham.
First, if you like, it doesn't make any difference to me.
The reason being because this was very, very, very good cop heavy week for me.
Okay.
Trying to pick one thing out of this week. Wow. I'm gonna go to what I will go on record as saying the best cinematic match I have seen so far from WWE. I'm going to the corporate Money in the Bank ladder match. And yes, you can at me if you want. The match itself, okay, first of all, I thought it was maybe a little cheesy with them doing the whole all doing the group entrance sort of thing, but at the same time, brilliant. Things that got me throughout the match itself, which made it the most amazing match. Brother Love's cameo with Rey Mysterio, which is great. But Baron Corbin's staring after he smashed that mirror in the gym. I'm like, yeah, don't go breaking mirrors, especially not one that big. Doink the Clown cameo. That was a nice touch because the original person who played Doink the Clown actually passed away several years ago. So that's rather a nice little touch to the man who played it. So really nice touch. Otis cheerleading Daniel Bryan on the Yes Kicks to Baron Corbin. Loved that. The Shayna Nia stare down. Again, that was great. Dana Brooke actually unhooked the briefcase in the boardroom. The money in the briefcase, I like that. Stephanie's cameo in the boardroom, like that. That was quite nice. Loved. And I literally adored the moment with Taker walking down the corridor. With Styles walking down the corridor and came face to face with Taker's picture. Which before that, of course, was the bit where you see all the posters up and how Roman Reigns has been, quote unquote, exercise from commentary, no one talking about him at all. Still showed his picture quite happily in the corridor, though, so it's not like he'd been completely away from everything, so maybe he would have been a bit too much into that as an idea. So I like that because it shut people up on Twitter. But in general, the Taker room, the Undertaker room, with Styles absolutely losing it, that in itself was enough of a reason to put him in this match. I love Apollo Crews. AJ Styles really made this match amazing. No offense, I do love you, Apollo Crews, and hopefully he'll get his push later on down the line. Paul Heyman, buffet cameo? Wasn't expecting that. And a food fight. We also got some actual intergender action as well. Rey Mysterio, intergender with Shayna Baszler, so that was really, really awesome. Happy that John Laurinaitis got a pie on his face. I don't like John Laurinaitis. I never liked that character. I thought it was one of the biggest mistakes in WWE history. So that was a nice touch. Vince's office with Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles, two of the biggest stars ever in indie history in Vince's office. The subtle storytelling there was amazing in itself. And then at the end of all, Vince putting Angel on his hand. I like that. Still sending a message to you guys. We're wrestling still, but still sending a message still. Love Lacey's aggression in general. And thank you, Elias. My boy! Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah! Otis won. I said to you, my pick is going to win. Otis is going to win it. Not one person I spoke to about this endorsed Otis to win it. Everyone said they're going to screw him. They're going to do this. I said, strap a rocket to the man and ride it to the moon right now.
You called it. And I think my point to you was less than a 1% chance that will happen.
And the mathematician in you, I'll be honest, that was probably my most crazy pick I've ever made. And I'm aware I once picked Zack Ryder to the Royal Rumble. I'm aware of that. But I think Otis to win Money in the Bank was an even longer shot. I just hope that the rumours that he's going to use it to cash in on the tag team championship isn't going to be the case.
He's giving it to Mandy.
That'd be interesting. I hadn't thought about that. I was wondering.
You'll both have your hearts broken.
I was wondering if Shayna or Nia was going to take the Men's Money in the Bank briefcase.
That would have been interesting.
Well, I kept thinking Nia's rumbled a Bentley before. Why not?
Yeah.
Both in the ring at the same time. Why not?
Wow, that would have been a baptism of fire for intergender wrestling, that's for sure.
It would have been. But what a message to send. But that's all I've got for that match, Graham. I've got a lot of other things to talk about in my speed check. But so, any thoughts yourself on it before you take any action?
I'm sure you have. That was some great filibustering that you did right there, where you just speak for endless amounts of time, so I don't get a chance to say anything. We're on the same page, and I'm going to quote pretty much the Band from Ringside podcast with, I 100% agree with you, which makes for really boring podcasting. But no, that was my good cop moment of the week as well. I particularly like the Vince spot. I was hoping that you weren't going to mention the hand sanitizer at the end. That there was just little things like that, little touches that just really enhanced that whole segment. And I have one thing that you didn't mention, actually, that I really do like. I had talked about, and this precedes WrestleMania even, I'd had a few good cop moments when I talked about the overproduced segments. I know there was one from Impact that I talked about, and I made a big deal of really liking the ones at WrestleMania. And it was kind of a question like, hey, I think we could do a whole pay-per-view of these, and we'd probably be quite happy. I'm quite happy if we never see a live main event again. As in the fact that if it's pre-recorded, I would be quite happy. The opportunities that it opens up are just phenomenal. It makes the storytelling even better than you can actually do in the ring, just because you have the chance to be able to cut away, do segments, then do a different segment, and so on, and piece it together. The other thing that I really liked that you didn't talk about was the background music as well. I think that's probably one of the big problems that you have when you listen to that ring and there's nobody there. AEW at least has people on the outside cheering, which makes it a little bit better. But the way they're putting the music in, it feels like you're at the cinema. It feels like you're watching a film. It feels like you're watching that better put together production, and it makes it all the more better. Now, I actually had a second part to my good cop moment, which is good because you stole pretty much everything for this. My good cop moment, which is kind of why I got through the first segment pretty quick as well. I actually thought the Matt Hardy segment also must have been filmed ahead of time. It must have been broken into segments. I can't believe that was in one cut either. And same thing. I thought it was superb. Loved the Matt Hardy bit. Loved Sammy Guevara. They all played their role. At the end, they walked back into the stadium. Bad cop moment for me. I didn't realize they were filming at the Jaguar Stadium until that moment then. I was like, oh my God. I did not put that together. I just thought they were filming in a small arena. Did not put the Tony Khan connection there together at all. And boy, did I feel stupid. But yeah, loved that whole segment. Loved how they brought other people in. Couldn't have been better. The whole week for me, all these overproduced segments, I love them, Matt. I'm quite happy if that's what we keep seeing for the, certainly for the foreseeable future anyway.
I didn't know they're filming their wife until I was in the Queen's Court live last night. Well, she was doing the thing about AEW Dark. I was having to tune into her, listen to her while I was doing some gaming. And it's such a chill feeling to be playing Animal Crossing while listening to that. It's such a chill way, especially if you can't sleep at the moment. She mentioned Tony's Place. And I thought, Tony's Place? Where the hell's Tony's Place? It wasn't until you just said it clicked in the place. I'm like, yes.
All right, what about a speed check from you? Although I think you're probably going to ignore the word speed and just check off your whole phone list that you had. But go ahead, bluff along with a speed check for us.
Okay, first thing first. The Undertaker The Last Ride, Chapter 1, The Greatest Fear. Oh my God. Phenomenal. Pun intended. Guys, go and watch it. I implore you. Bray Wyatt telling Michael Cole and Corey Graves they're doing a good job no matter what people tell them. That was great. I like that Braun beat Bray and not The Fiend. Keep The Fiend strong. Samoa Joe's voice is very much appreciated on the commentary team. We'll be happy to have him around much more when his in-ring career is over. He's got a bright, bright future as a commentator once his in-ring career is over. Seth sold McIntyre as a worthy world champion. Really, really did. I genuinely thought that stomp was a free count. I genuinely thought that. Great selling by Rollins and McIntyre. And then for Monday Night Raw, Alexa Bliss has added Mason's knees to her repertoire. Do you remember when you guys did the Clacton knee 2 years ago now? Wow, that's a long time ago.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yes, and then she's like using double knees, and then she, granted, Mason didn't backflip into a knee strike. But, yeah, she's doing the same. I was like, I saw that, I thought, been there, that hurts. And Asuka is the Raw Women's Champion. Becky surrendered the championship because of some other good news, which I'd rather think you'll touch on. And that's it.
Oh, okay. I was hesitant because I thought for sure that there would be far more stuff. And once again, we're on the same page. How could you argue against the Undertaker documentary? That's only part one of five, isn't it? Like, oh my God. Yeah, I told somebody, I said, have you seen Money in the Bank yet? He's like, not yet. And I was like, well, go watch the main event, then go watch the Undertaker documentary. And if you have time, go on back and watch the rest of the matches. But that's the order that you kind of want to do it. I know you said you watched the Undertaker documentary first, but yeah, that sounded the necessity than choice. But anyway, yeah, the Becky announcement, I've watched more Raw this week just on watching that whole segment. Once I saw it was on Twitter, I was like, oh, I got to watch the whole thing. So I watched that whole segment, which is more than I normally watch. I thought it was put together perfectly. You could tell they were real emotions. And if not, then she's got an acting career lined up for her whenever she's ready to. You could see the emotions of it all. Asuka played her role in that as well. And yeah, it's good news for Becky, sort of bad news for the women's division, because obviously you're losing one of your top stars, but you can't think of it in that way at all. And the only other moment that I have, because I thought we were keeping these short, as a speed check would suggest, is a quote from Ethan Page, a fan in Walmart line, yo, are you Ethan Page? And he replied, not at the moment, no. Apparently that didn't really happen. It was just there for fun, but you could imagine something like that actually happening.
I can imagine him saying that, yeah, he's such a dude.
Other people came up with, well, you should have been like, no, I'm Julian. But it's like, you're assuming this really happened. I thought it was a funny post and people should have just laughed at that.
I fully believed it. You saying that it's a bad move for the Raw Women's Division, I'm actually going to say quite the opposite, in fact. Because we've seen Becky versus everybody on that roster now. We have. We've seen Becky versus everybody. We haven't seen Asuka with the body. We get these new matches.
Okay. Yeah, that makes it up, that's for sure. But when you have a talent like Becky, she's the complete wrestler. I think she's all parts of her character are good. But yes, the division will survive for sure. But yeah.
She'll be back.
All right, don't forget, if you want to catch the best indie wrestling action as well, don't forget to go and check out powerslam.tv. And if you use code GOODCOPBADCOP, all lowercase, then you can get 30 days free.
Good! Bad!
All right, we looked at the good. Like you said, that was probably the main part this week. So what do you have for bad then?
Bad!
I've got a lot of things I can choose from. A lot of things to choose from. I actually got a lot of bad cop. Wow, actually a lot.
Like in the last 3 days, you could have decided that order and not waited until you're on to make that decision. But sure, go ahead. I'll just twiddle my thumbs and I'm buying time here. Stop arguing with me. I'm buying you time while you make up your mind, Mr. Ditherer.
I was being dramatic. I've decided what it is because it's the obvious bad cop moment of the week. Obviously. Last week, we did a whole episode with no backup at all, Graham, didn't we? And in that, we did that to try and show there's a lot of good in the world right now, and we can stop thinking about this bloody thing that's happening in the world. Unfortunately, someone in the wrestling world brought my attention back to it. TJP. TJP has publicly backed the president's decision to open everything as fast as possible, because, and I quote, "Does everyone think this virus just went away or something? I assure you, it has not." To which he said that it never existed in the scope people imagined in the first place. The point that numbers had to be inflated and fabricated just to justify the shutdown. It's a 99% survival rate based on actual non-inflated numbers. To say he's got some hate for this is an understatement. As someone who works on the front line, and see people taken away for respiratory care, I'm sick of seeing it. And I'm sick of people making light of this. Okay, it's not a little bit of flu. Some people will be fine from it, yeah. But don't try telling the over 100,000 people who have died from it in America? No. Try telling the people whose families have lost someone from it. This is devastating the planet. People need to stop making light of it. And when you've got role models like wrestlers, who we're meant to be looking up to right now, and looking to for like, we'll get through this together sort of thing, message we're getting from everybody, and you get that newsflash for you, Impact, that's going to make me turn off. I was thinking about taking out Impact TV, Graham, you know? That comment alone has convinced me not to. I like watching Ethan Page. I like TJP's moveset, but I never want to watch Impact now. Not while TJP's in the company.
Well, you're going to get some hate from me because I didn't think we were talking about that topic again. Obviously, I agree with the seriousness of it, but I do not want to address it any further than that at this point. This is actually after the segment with Becky. Oscar, I'm not sure what the point is of interviewing Oscar. Like, if you ask her a question and then she just babbles in Japanese that we don't understand, is there any real point of having that interview? And if you know that Oscar's understanding of the English language is very weak, why is Charlie Caruso asking her questions with such complicated words in them that are way above? Now, I'm obviously not a reading teacher. I'm not a language teacher. I'm a math teacher. I understand that side of it. But I also understand with having a wife who's an elementary teacher, but also working with EL kids, who we have a lot of kids who come from Spanish-speaking countries who move into the area and basically can't talk any English words at all. So I understand the framing of questions, how you pick particular words, or you'd pick words that are very similar so they can... I'm not sure. What's the point? I'm not sure what the point of those interviews are. To me, it would seem better to just have her backstage. Kairi Sane can still come in on her, and then they can talk in Japanese, but you can still understand that, oh, look, you won the championship? Whoa, I'm really... Points to the belt. I'm really excited by that, by dancing around. I think that would be fine. I think that showing that backstage emotion is part of the storytelling. You see what goes on backstage. To have it as a formal interview, I could be missing something. Perhaps it's not a bad cop moment at all. But while I was watching it, I was like, this is pointless. There is no reason to do this at all. What information are you trying to convey if you ask a question and you can't get an answer in English.
Well, actually, you're going to get a good answer from me, actually. The bad cop moment, I would agree with you, because I think they've just turned Asuka face, therefore turning Kairi Sane face. The thing they were doing backstage with Asuka only answering in Japanese is the typical foreign heel don't understand you sort of thing. Maybe put someone who can speak English on the side, maybe Funaki. Because obviously when Kairi Sane...
Translate, and that works fine.
When Kairi Sane won the first Mae Young Classic, Funaki was her translator. It would work quite well, I think. There you go. There free bit of offer and a bit of work for you. Turn them favour, having Kairi Sane be their vocal, by being Funaki being their vocal point. Perfect.
All right, go ahead. Give us your speed check moments then.
Okay, let's go. Sami Zayn's been stripped of the Intercontinental Championship because he won't compete at the moment. Now, I'm a little upset about that. It was originally said that he was injured, but apparently that's not the case. He just won't compete at the PC while this is going on. That's his decision. I get that. But the title needs to be on TV. So they're stripping off the championship and announcing a tournament for it. I dare say they'll have a, like, I'm never the top championship. I will come in for that. Blah, blah, blah. Perfect later on down the line. It's a good storyline on hold, ready for them. Perfect. Krista and Scarlett. Now, I saw this and I rolled my eyes. I was like, really? Another one? This is just another Kevin Thorne and Ariel. We already have Aleister Black as well. We already have The Undertaker and Kane. And we already have Freya's like Mordecai. We don't need this sort of gimmick. And the fact is, a sleeper, that's your finisher? Really? Right. Seth Rollins' new music. I personally don't like it. It sounds way too generic for my liking. The bad cop from a Money in the Bank ladder match, actually. No wet floor sign, which annoyed me as someone who's been on health and safety. When they were running through and everything, no wet floor sign. Come on! At least if they took up music, the weapon sort of thing originally, but if none wet floor sign out in the first place, I annoyed that. Annoyed me. Where's the Scepter come from? The Baron Corbin have them on Respawn or something? People pulled out of nowhere. Seriously? Baron Corbin again. I'm going to the roof. No kidding. We know you're going to the roof. Why announce it? Why did Corbin try to stop Asuka for? Why? That makes sense.
Didn't get that.
And the last moment, of course, is that Corbin threw Mysterio and Black off the top of the roof. Now, obviously, we've since seen that there is a lower level, obviously, so they weren't thrown off the top of the building, they were thrown to a lower level of the roof, which at least saved the murder charge, which is good. Okay, the Seth Ray step thing was hard to watch. I actually turned away, it was gruesome. It was gruesome, I couldn't watch it. Not saying it wasn't good, but bad cop for me because I couldn't watch it. Seth getting the DQ for attacking Rey Mysterio despite being in the match. Now, I know you know that I'm walking rule book, Graham. This is kind of convoluted at all, so please allow me a few moments to explain this in my speed check, sorry. Basically, it's legal in the 5 seconds after a tag. Otherwise, it isn't. That's why when you see people like interfere behind referee's back, if behind referee's back and referee can't see it. Otherwise, it is an instant DQ. But a pin breakup is allowed if you're not a legal man. Vince enforces this rule really, really viciously backstage. Really viciously. And there's something that people can't do in matches in the middle of them because it goes against that rule. He is so fierce on this rule. Okay, and the last one, flies in the face of one of your good cop moments, actually, sir. Bill from Ben from Ringside saying a couple of marks in the crowd is better than hearing silence in the ring. I disagree, actually. I love, at the moment, that I can hear everything the wrestlers say because it massively helped the Seth-Drew storyline. It massively helped them. You can hear what they're saying to each other. Seth losing his actual mind is amazing to hear what's going on right now with that. And the Bray Braun storyline, being able to hear everything so crystal clear, it makes all the difference. Those storylines, at least. So it worked for me, having no having an audience there for those three particular storylines. And that's it.
Whew. All right. I'm going to, well, apparently we're going to get a bit more exciting then, because I'm going to pick up on a few of your things. So for the poll last week, my second choice would have been actually the Karrion Kross entrance with Scarlett Bordeaux. So I'm actually, I said it could be possibly one of my good cop moments. It was. I was really excited by it. I thought it went down really well, and I saw a lot of people also thought it went down really well as well. Now, this one is a last-minute bad cop speed moment. At the start, we're normally like, hey, while we're getting ready, hey, let me quickly do this. Let me switch off my notifications for my phone. Once again, you've got a beep going off in the middle of your talk. You do that all the time. When I listen back, I'm like, oh, for God's sake, can he switch off his notification? I never remember to say anything, so I'm saying it now. Switch him off. We don't want to hear that on a podcast. The rest of the Money in the Bank, I thought, was actually really poor. I was not interested in the first hour and 30 minutes at all. I was multitasking. I had it on. What? I was listening to it, with the exception of the pre-show match between Jeff Hardy and Cesaro. With the exception of that, I didn't like the rest of the show particularly. I've got a question for you before I continue. No way you interrupt him right now except to give me this answer. Nikki and Alexa, faces or heels?
Tweeners.
Okay. I was surprised that they referenced a jelly baby, in the size of a jelly baby, in reference to Becky's child right now. The belts are our babies. It sounded very heelish to me. They're certainly not out-and-out heels, but they seem to be undermining something I thought was kind of a big moment. I was kind of surprised that they actually did that. Your choice for best cop moment of the week, Jake Roberts and Brandy. I'm not sure that Jake Roberts dry-humping Brandy is necessarily a best cop moment. Somebody also said, and I didn't actually notice this when I first saw it, he trod on the snake's tail during the segment. And he was also holding the snake incorrectly. Now, for somebody who's known as Jake the Snake Roberts, you would have thought that he would have known how to handle a reptile. But anyway, final moment that you can come in. Last Saturday, it was announced that had this situation not been going on, GCW Washington would have happened. Oh my gosh, the poster looked phenomenal. Mason asked who was going to be on. I was like, they didn't announce that, but oh my gosh. I was like, probably a good cop moment for you, buddy, because you wouldn't have been going and I would have been going. But yeah, oh, but obviously that's something that's probably going to happen in the future, so I'm kind of excited. But in the short term, I've never missed independent wrestling more when I saw GCW Washington would have happened last weekend.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Good. Bad.
All right. Well, we've figured out the good and the bad. What stuff are you still unsure about, though?
Unsure?
I've got some feedback stuff. This one is, again, sort of serious.
You want to do that after the main unsure moment? Shall we stick with the traditional route? We're going to do the regular unsure moment and then doing the short moments after?
Let you know ahead of time. You normally say, have you got anything? I'm letting you know if you're going to have it in advance.
Yeah, everybody knows you have a huge list of emotional moments.
Not for unsure normally, I don't, sir. Right.
You have a lot to talk about.
Right, unsure. Now, I need to state from the start, this is a bad cop moment, but there's an unsure reason. The reason why is because I had to twist it because...
You didn't have anything for him before.
Alberto Del Rio. Everybody out there probably knows of this. He was arrested this week on sexual assault charges. Now, the reason why this is an unsure is because I'm unsure as to how many chances he thinks he deserves. He had second chances after Paige. He had second chances after, allegedly, Stephanie McMahon. Allegedly, he tried. Allegedly, he tried to attack her backstage. Yeah, I'm unsure as to how many chances he thinks he's going to get in his business. And to be honest, if he's been arrested on these charges. Hasn't been cautioned. He's been arrested on these charges. So I'm unsure as to what he thinks. If he thinks he's above the law, or if he thinks he can ride this one out. Graham is looking surprised about this, really.
Yeah, I guess I was the one person who didn't know this. Now, I'm actually going to back you on this, surprisingly. I think this is an unsure cop moment, because if something had been proven with regards to that, he probably would be in jail. So the fact that that hasn't happened, you could see why other companies would give him chances. So this is actually partially based on the criminal system, or the justice system. So I'm okay with this being, obviously, you're not justifying his actions in any way, shape, or form, but if no evidence has been presented, or insufficient evidence has been presented, then you could see why companies would give him a chance, although clearly it's unsure why you'd want to give him a chance if he's getting himself into that sort of predicament. But yeah, I'm going to say innocent until proven guilty right now. So I can see why that's an unsure moment for you.
Right, okay. Then you say what you want, sir, please.
All right, I'm going to talk about Humberto Carrillo. The reason it's unsure, it started off as a good cop moment, then it went into a bad cop moment, and then it was like, well, it looks like I'm going to be making this an unsure moment then. His match this week, really liked it. I love when he brought the chair out. I was like, whoa, he's not taking any BS from people. That's not something that you normally get to do when you're kind of lower down that pecking order. That's normally the higher up people that get. The fact that he could do that. And he didn't just use it once. He used that chair multiple times. I loved it. I was like, go on, hit Bobby again. Go on, hit him. Total good cop moment. However, the ending to the match. Now, I didn't think he was going to win for 1 second. I knew I was surprised he managed to get in that much offense anyway. I've never seen anybody submit to a full Nelson before. That's what it looked like to me. I was like, well, he's not going to tap from that. And so I was like, he tapped? I was like, what the heck? I know you did a lot of wrestling as a kid with your brother. Like, I would wrestle a little bit with my dad, but that was one of the things he put him in a full match. It was one of the first wrestling moves I ever learned. Not one point have I ever felt pain from that. Now, obviously, you wouldn't try and hurt your kid. Matt's rolling his eyes right now. To me, that is not a submission move. That's just a wrestling hold that goes on in the middle of a match, and to tap from that was disappointing. I'm going to keep going with my unsure moments. A good cop moment, continuing with Humberto Carrillo. The fact that we managed to get a cameo for him, for Jackson, for his sixth birthday, basically $15, $20. He's not doing them anymore, as far as I can tell. So I think we got in at the right time with somebody who's definitely going to be a future star. I don't remember which episode, Matt, but you called him a future world champion, I believe. So obviously pretty good. I did see some other cameos, Matt. I know you've been scouting that page. You actually called me out once because you said, hey, I spent way too much time looking on these. You can get Dominik Dijakovic right now for $15. That's not too bad. And Jessamyn Duke, $12. Some of her cameos are nearly 5 minutes long. Some gaming podcaster actually asked her some questions about gaming, and she gave like a 5-minute response. That's pretty good value for $12. So Humberto Carrillo, unsure this week. Few good things, few bad things.
I spent way too much time. I spent about a good day looking through it for people I wanted on there. But if I may just redress the balance a little bit, you're telling me a full Nelson doesn't hurt?
For a wrestler, for a professional wrestler, they shouldn't be tapping out to a full Nelson. That's a wrestling hold. You might as well put him in a headlock and then he tap out as well. I'm like, come on.
So, first of all, you're...
I see him power slammed multiple times and get pinned. That's what I want to see for the end of that match. I don't want to see him tap out to a full Nelson.
Firstly, I brought this up a few episodes ago, saying this is Bob Lashley now using the Master Lock, having beaten the Master Lock back in 2006. Okay, so I brought that up in the first place, and you forgot that.
That wasn't the Master's Lock that he put on, was it? That did not look like
the
it.
The Master Lock is a full Nelson. That's all it is, Graham.
I thought he had his. I thought in the Master's Lock he had his arm under his neck. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Master Lock is a full Nelson. So Lashley, the episode had a break there back in 2006. /7, because I'm forgetting exactly when it was now, but it was that sort of time. And having put my brother in that full Nelson myself, it caused him extreme pain. Now, At the risk of revealing more than I should at this point, when me and Chris have wrestled in the past, I've gone the joke you put it on there, falling on him. Actual wrestle, Graham. Don't laugh at the schoolgirl.
This is a PG show.
I wrestle. R-A-S-S-L-E. Wrestle. Okay? I put a full Nelson on Chris. I had to release it straight away because he got neck issues.
That's a little different from a professional wrestler who's at the top of his game.
A full Nelson, if it's executed like Bobby Lashley executed it, will make you tap. And if you think otherwise, Graham...
You're going to put me in one next time we see you. All right, unsure moments. Go ahead, speed check.
Okay, you don't know. Here goes my one. Are you unsure about this one, Graham? How long would Money in the Bank this year?
It was 2 hours, 15 minutes? 2 hours, 20? 2 hours, 20, I think.
2 hours, 23 minutes. This goes to show with WWE know how to do it. Unfortunately, I didn't like it. I was unsure if it was right to be this short.
I saw people say online that it was the shortest pay-per-view ever. And I was like, nope, because I'm watching WrestleMania 1 right now with Jackson and it's 2 hours, 15 minutes. We talk about an MGB tight 2 hours. I'd rather have a tight 2 hours than a week 3 hours. But yeah, I was kind of surprised. I don't think they had anything else to tell, though. So I thought it was the perfect length of time for what they needed it to do. Would I want to see that every time? No. But for this one, it felt right.
Okay. Moving on to the next one. Released yesterday... time recording, the new two t-shirts from WWE shop, the mom and the ma brackets n, basically they're playing off of the man now being the mom. People did very split about this on Twitter. I'm thinking if Becky signed off on this, then that's fine, but at the same time I'm like, eh. Although Now you can get your good wife a wrestling shirt. You can now get the man with the N, different colours for the AN, so she'd be the man. And the last unsure moment is fan from ringside.
Hey, these guys are really nice to us. They like and they retweet for us. You already had one shot at them. I'm hoping you're going to say something positive, because otherwise we're going to have some enemies.
I'm not being a heel, I promise. Right, okay. Now, the latest episode of theirs, 154. Now, the episode itself was great as always. However, whoever does the editing of their description of their episode needs to really double-check it. I am quoting the description. This week, the boys analysed the latest installation of the NXT do-over. Okay, installation is building, usually. So, why is this an installation, not an installment? Guys, I'm begging you to check your speed check, okay? I'm unsure if anyone else spotted this, so it's but I'm like, I thought this would be a nice, funny thing to finish the unsure cop moment with.
I apologize for interrupting. I thought you said you only had one moment, otherwise I would have waited until the end. I do only have one moment. Saul Esparza asked from EWA Maryland, WTF are you supposed to do when they sing happy birthday to you? Now, I actually had that moment as well a few days ago, because I'm like, I'm not blowing the candle out. I was like, there's no way. That just doesn't sing. So I did, of course. That's amazing. I get to my age and I've never actually put a candle out with my fingers. I've only ever blown it before. So I didn't think. Licked the fingers, touched the flame. Six-year-old Jackson was very impressed. He wants to do that on his seventh birthday now. Anyway, The moment in response to it is Jesse Ryan, also at EWA Maryland, asked them to sing it a second time so you can finish washing your hands. And thankfully, I managed to get a moment in that's related to the C word without singing the C word. What a fantastic response that is. The reason, of course, it's an unsure moment is, yeah, what do you do after someone's sung happy birthday to you now? I think you just extinguish it with, or you just remove the candle straight away, as far as I can tell. But hey, there's going to be a lot of things that are going to change coming up in the next few years. That will be one of the more trivial ones. But I thought it was a very funny response from Jesse Ryan.
I don't know, Graham, to answer that one, mainly because
–
lot of mid birthdays in the Willis family at the moment. A lot of mid birthdays. So I can't tell you at the moment how it's going to be.
And the cake would collapse under the weight from all your candles as well. I can do that, Joe, because I'm older than you.
Said the man who is 45, and instead of using candles, you set the Lord on fire.
Like I said, I can get away with that because I'm older, so it's an easy target.
Good! Bad!
All right, my open agenda for this week. I'm going to talk some TV. One of the positive things of having this break is I've actually had some more time to watch TV, catch up on shows I wanted to. I have been going back and actually watching certain Star Treks that I've not seen before. I hadn't actually seen The Enterprise, so I've been catching up on that. I watched all of those probably about a year ago. I actually caught up on Discovery, and I caught up on Picard as well. And I went back for the first time in 20, 30 years, went back and watched Star Trek Next Generation. I just finished Deep Space Nine this week, and I've got a few episodes of the last season of Voyager to watch, and then I'm finished. So a couple of things in relation to this. First of all, I really enjoyed watching them all again. You're rolling your eyes, but I'm going to mention the fact that I know you don't like Star Trek. That's why it's an open agenda. I believe we have someone who's been a guest on, well, certainly my podcast. I possibly believe your podcast as well. He's going to be coming on. We're going to have a quiz, I believe, related to a Star Trek character or wrestler at some point in the future. So that's something to look forward to. Some of the things, though, the communications devices, like if you go back to the original Star Trek in the 60s, they're probably worse than a flip phone. And we're sat here in 2020 and we've got smartphones and they're way more powerful. The holodecks kind of reminded me of augmented reality. That we're kind of heading that direction as well. We have managed to teleport a particle now. I saw in science news, like I can't remember what it was. It was like a neutrino or something. They managed to move it from one place to it. So we're kind of getting in that direction. But yeah, kind of interesting how those shows have actually led to things and advancements in a field. I thought you would have been interested in that, gaming. Certainly they've been helping with things like that, as well as other things as well that you value in your everyday life.
Yes, he's been on my show twice. Star Trek bores the whole of me.
Should we do a devil's advocate?
Yes.
All right, you want to go first or second?
I'm glad you're asking me, Graham, because I would like to go first, please.
All right. Well, the good news is I managed to survive the show with very few notes. I will show you in a second how few I actually had written down. And same for this. I don't even really have a devil's advocate written down. Hoping it's going to work. All right, we will see. All right, Matt, your devil's advocate for this week is, as good as the main event was in Money in the Bank, they didn't go far enough. Baron Corbin should actually have thrown Aleister Black and Rey Mysterio off the roof.
Absolutely. For realism's sake, if nothing else, they should have made him plummet right from the top of Titan Towers. I mean, let's face it, realism is something that is so hard to convey, but this is something that could easily have actually made work. I mean, Baron Corbin is supposed to be a king, and you know, he meant to show that he can rule from a high precipice like that.
Why'd you let me go first? I was worried it was a possibility we could possibly choose the same. I don't think that's ever happened really before, but it was kind of a big moment.
Okay. Graham, your devil's
Gosh, he's got that look on his face. He wanted me to go first, so I wouldn't choose an even worse one off the top of my head. All right, go on, Matt. Bring it on. I'm ready. I recognize that smile after 90 episodes.
Your devil's advocate is as follows. And for people at home, when I say I mean Graham. Next week, I know exactly what Matt is going to talk about for all of his moments. Go.
I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. So there must be some event that's coming up. So I've got to try and predict. I have no idea what is coming up this weekend. That's the vaguest devil's advocate you've ever given, but I know I've got to fill the full 20 seconds. Perhaps there's some big gaming event coming up that I've missed or something, or something's happening on the news, or Formula One's back. No idea.
End time.
I have no idea what that one. That was the surrealest one ever. How do I know what you're talking about next week?
Because, Mr. Graham, you and me recorded something about 2 months ago for when you make your debut on Talk of a Table, because you don't want to do Good Cop, Bad Cop that week. So...
I forgot. You could have been... Jeez, you always have to be so subtle. You're like this on instant message as well. You drop like a subtle clue, and then I'll just wait for 10 minutes. And then I'll go, all right, go on, tell me. Jesus, I'm going to get lost in the stone.
I was trying to be, you know, trying to work some promotion into the Devil's Advocate. But you missed it. So if you want another one, you can do another one. It's fine.
No, that's fine. So next week then, I said I didn't want to do two episodes because I'm going to be doing one with Mason as well. I don't want to do three episodes. I know you can do like 13 episodes in a week, but I don't want to do that. So, we recorded a review of Riptide Wrestling from Brighton. I don't think it's the first one ever, but it's the first one that's available on PowerSlam TV. I saw it was a cracking card. I actually hoped to do it with Mason, and I saw the first match. I was like, oh, no, we can't do that. But I was like, I want to keep watching. I suggested it to you, and you said the same thing. Within the first couple of matches, we were like, this is brilliant. So, I think it's the first ever review we've actually done then.
It is. It's a great review. Return to Riptide, the event was called. It is number one on the list, so that's what we went with.
Watch it. Before we do our review, I strongly recommend it.
Not going to do any spoilers for what we talk about on the show, but I talk a lot. Shocker, I know.
Yeah, I get people. Guess people would not have seen that coming. All right, finish it up. Seems okay. We won't see these good folks in a fortnight.
We'll be here next week. We won't be here next week. Come from the Graham next week on Talk at the Table. Let's see if you can do as good as Melissa did. She was fantastic. Graham will probably blow it out of the water as well. On behalf of Graham and myself, we're out of here.
The music was Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/.
All right, have you got anything to talk about MGB this week? We had the interview with Irvin Legend.
I've got a few bits. I'll go through them quite quickly for you, okay? The man himself said he's trying to sort out a date between Natalya and Tyson Kidd to come on his show to do an interview. I wouldn't mind a date with Tyson Kidd, but that's another story another time. Do not try fried chicken and grape jelly. Do not try that. I would not recommend it.
We are.
Also would not recommend chocolate on steak.
We're trying that.
If you're going to, it needs to be dark chocolate. Okay.
Needs to be video recorded.
Yes. however, very intense interview though. But my word, that was very good. It was one of the best interviews I've heard for a long time. So props to you and props to Irvin as well for sharing that about your past. Fascinating to hear about his link to Benjamin Banks. Love the promo he cut on Golden Pinky Society as well. Man, the great on the mic. Man, great. Yeah. Other little bits and pieces. 619, Rey Mysterio's hometown, of course. That's why he called his move the 619.
In my head, I was like San Diego, and I just bailed and just said Southern California. I could have looked so good. I could have edited around it, but I was like, I didn't get it.
The K-tape, which you were talking about, because Cesaro used to wear it, of course, and Mason mentioned that his mum wears it as well every now and again. The K-tape, although it can provide some support, mainly it has been described as a placebo to make you think that it's doing you some good. So that could be what it is. It makes you feel like you can get through it, sort of thing. Vampire the Masquerade. It's an excellent video game series, Graham. Thank you for bringing up gaming again on MGB. Thank you. I appreciate that massively.
Well, I knew you'd like that.
Licking someone's head. That is something you are remembering because the Bushwhackers did that to Mean Gene Okerlund at WrestleMania 17 during the gimmick Battle Royal entrances.
Oh, that would make sense. Yeah.
And Gangrel, you mentioned him, of course. You mentioned about why they got such a low rating.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-oh.
Gangrel has phoned in a lot through the Attitude Era, especially. Gangrel was brought back in 2004 by JBL to try and mess with Undertaker alongside Viscera. Viscera was kept on, Gangrel was not. Gangrel was originally meant to be partnering Kevin Thorn in WWE, but they got rid of him instead and just had Kevin Thorn. And who's the biggest star in the Brood? Was it the leader, Gangrel? No, Edge. Edge was the biggest star, which unfortunately says it all. Yeah, so Gangrel back in those days, yeah, phoned it in, definitely. But at the same time, he had a renaissance towards his latter part of his career, much like a certain man, Ring of Honor. Another MGP favourite, PCO. Renaissance ended it towards the twilight of his career. So there is hope for him still yet.
That is true. I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah, like I knew a few things. We didn't know Irvin Legend as well as some of the other people we've interviewed, but having got to know him a little bit better on Facebook these last sort of month or 2 months, I picked out certain things. He's very open on Facebook about different things. He'll put out some interesting facts. So I kind of fed some of those to Mason. I was like, hey, go find out something more about this. Feed these into your questions. And yeah, as I said on the interview, we got a far more open interview than I realized we were going to get. I didn't know half of that stuff. Even the half of the stuff, it was obviously he'd had a tough upbringing. And to hear that whole story was, I thought, very interesting. And it definitely made for a unique interview. And I said to Mason afterwards, I said, I think this is going to make for interesting listening. I think for people who are expecting just your average wrestling interview, that's not what we got. We got way more than that. I will tell you this as well, because I don't think we included this on the actual notes itself. We're always concerned about taking too much of wrestler's time, and we always try and set a hard deadline. Like now we've started to say 30 to 40 at the most, and we've had a few where we've cut them down, like we did with Cabana Man Dan, and then he was good enough and said, we'll do an extra one. Irvin actually, and I always send out a message probably about 15 minutes, 30 minutes beforehand saying, hey, just want to let you know, we're starting to get things ready. We'll be ready to talk in 30 minutes, just as like a little reminder for people. He actually contacted us. He's like, hey, just want to let you know I'm ready. I'll be ready to go at the time we agreed upon. Looking forward to it, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, don't worry about time. You can talk as long as you want to. Just ask as many questions as you want. I said, I got all day. Wow. Couldn't have been nicer. Could not have been nicer. And yeah, we did. We took the most of that time. We didn't cut any of the questions out. And yeah, I thought originally possibly it would have been a shorter interview, but we kept finding things. He was very good in elaborating. Like sometimes you do get short answers. He was very good at giving extra information that sometimes led to follow-up questions as well. So, yeah, I think, once again, we've got a good little collection of interviews coming together on MGB right now. And that, I think, was a slightly different interview. But I think for that reason as well, it makes it stand out that much more.
Very proud of you. Very proud of all three of you right now. Nice one, buddies.